Have you seen his Instagram?
Yeah, they need
it's Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, again, more coming up on Kyrie Irving and the Celtics last night in Denver. Kyrie Irving has been fined for chucking that ball into the stands. Wow, $25,000. All right, so there's that. We got the Bruins and some Red Sox to get to as well, but I wanted to clean up the Patriots stuff before we move on to that. So, right to you here, Anthony in Rhode Island. What do you got, Anthony?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want your opinion. How the Patriots end up getting Josh Gordon for a fifth-round pick? You need to tell me this. 31 of the teams in football, nobody else wants him. Nobody else is willing to give up more than a fifth round to him.
No one else wanted him.
It just happens to...
No one else wanted him. No one else wanted to take the risk or assume the problem. Nope, no one did.
Why is that? He's so talented. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't.
31 other teams.
Yeah,
Randy Moss fell into their lap for a fourth round pick, a Hall of Fame receiver. Nobody else gave up more. Was willing to give up more than a fourth round pick.
Yeah, I would not compare the two. I wouldn't have given. I still don't want Josh Gordon on the team. I still think he chips away at who you are as a football team. But just by having him there, and you've made all these exceptions for him now, where he's got like. Did you hear his answer last week? He was asked point blank, you know, have you been late? And his answer was something along the lines of, well, you know, in those occasions where that might be the case, I've gotten help. What?
Right, exactly, yeah.
So what, like you got an own personal caddy? Like you got, what, some team official that's just following you around to make sure that you're
It's like he's got a handler.
Or when you are late.
I would hope so.
Wait, if you are late, you forgot where you had to be, someone runs and gets you, and so you've got help. What is this, a 12-year-old? Like, I mean, I understand he has his problems and his dependencies and all of this, but you are still an adult. You know... Like I just have no use for this. Like, and usually Bill doesn't either. So I still think the Pats should have passed on him because I still don't think it's going to work. It's worked more than it has to this point. But so I mean, give him credit for managing it to a point and getting something out of him when I thought it wouldn't even last this long. But I still don't know if he's worth the problem. I still don't think he's the same player. I mean, that's what's emerging to me is that he's. Doesn't have the same explosiveness that he once had.
So I was just going to say, has he been so good that we're at the point where we're asking the question, how did someone let him get here?
Well, why do people like ignore all the missed targets there? Like it's been a Brady to Gordon. They've hit some big plays, but it's been pretty inefficient. I don't know how many catches on how many targets, but it's probably
I'll get it for you. I meant to look that up earlier.
It's probably around 50% on the year, which is not what they're looking for, which is not usually how Brady operates. Daryl in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Daryl.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to...
Daryl, I'm sorry. I got to let you go. 617-779-0985. We're going to wrap up these Patriots calls before we get to some Celtics and some Bruins. Matt in Medford on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Matt.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Quick take. Not to start a new conversation, but did anybody consider maybe Brady got hurt? Maybe he tweaked something on that stupid rollout play because he was horrible. For that small portion. I mean, he was like 0-for-7. It was the longest incompletion streak for him ever. I mean, maybe Brady wasn't right after that goal line stand or something.
Maybe.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Matt. He wasn't great in this game, and I don't think he's been great this year. Is it because he's hurt or because he's just showing his age or... And again, I feel like I always have to qualify this because I'm not telling you he's done. I'm not pulling a Max Kellerman. I'm just telling you what I've seen this year. He's been... Okay, he's been good, but not great. And so why is that? And if you want my answer, it's because when you're 41 and you put in less work that you did at 40 and less work that you did at 39, it's impossible to get better. And so he's not getting better. And so that's my answer.
I mean, I tell you, overall, like the whole passing game isn't what it usually is. So whether you want to put that on Brady, the receivers, the coaching, or all the above, like to me, that's how I look at it. So Brady, in terms of completion percentage and passer rating, is middle of the pack. 13th and 12th, I think, in those two categories. Okay, that's middle of the pack in the NFL. When are the Patriots ever in the middle of the pack in passing offense?
And I don't think it's that. It shouldn't be that surprising. Never mind Brady putting in a little less work and getting a late start. It wasn't just a late start in the spring. People forget. He had a little back thing or some sort of thing early in training camp. Remember when he was out for like a week to 10 days and he wasn't throwing? And he didn't play the first preseason game. Not that necessarily... happens every year or not. I'm just telling you that there were all those throwing days they didn't throw. So he skips all spring, sits out a week plus in the first week of camp because he's sore with something because he wasn't totally ready to go. Edelman's out the first month. Gronkowski's banged up. Like, it's kind of predictable. So I don't think it's looked great. It hasn't looked bad. He's the least of their problems, but I don't think the arrow's pointed up on Brady. Here's what Greg Bedard, a so-called neutral voice, said earlier about Tom Brady.
From watching this game, I'm also starting to believe that perhaps the Patriots are critical of Brady, that Brady's not where they need him to be yet. I think, I don't know how much of that is the offense and what's around him or how much that is him, but I do think he is part of the equation.
Why do you get that sense?
I don't know. It's just gone on for so long that normally in past years, they've had injuries. They've had guys come and that, and it's just, all right, we'll just drop Brady back 45 times a game and he'll get it done. He'll figure it out. But I think it's equal parts, a little bit of everything.
Is Brady not seeing the field as well as he has in the past?
He has not seen the field to this point this year like he has in past years. To me, there's no question about that. Now, what part of that is on Brady? What part of that is on what he's working with? You know, he's feeling pressure more than I would say he did last year. I mean, he had an MVP season last year. You know, is it all that different, the situation? I don't know. I would have to go back and compare notes. But there's no question that he's having issues. I just don't know where the blame lies.
Okay.
On that.
So there's Bedard on Brady.
Maybe this is the reason for the trick plays.
I mean, well, that's what Greg was saying. Part of it is, you know, that they had to trick it up a little bit to move the ball on Green Bay, which is not a good defense. So what are the issues underlying that? And is Brady, you know, sort of part of that story? That was Greg's take earlier. Phil in Malden, what do you got for me?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I'm going with Maz. I liked the game Sunday night. It was a great game, but I think it's going to be a trap game, and I think the Patriots are going to lose.
Okay, well, they still have to go on the road and play a good game. They haven't really played well on the road yet. They've won a couple. They won at Buffalo and Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they're 1-2-1 on the road. Buffalo doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Well, just put it this way. If you want to shape a narrative for your take, Maz, just say they haven't played a good game. They're 0-4 in terms of playing good games on the road this year.
Yeah, 1-2-1.
Have they played well on the road?
No. Buffalo's a fake road win.
So 0-4 sounds worse than 1-2-1.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
0-4.
You might be able to talk me into that.
Have they played well on the road this year? No. 0-4.
No, I'm not agreeing with that, but they haven't played well on the road. They have two losses, Jacksonville and Detroit.
I'll tell you what, I'll give them half for Chicago and half for Buffalo. I'll call it 1-3.
So they still have to do that, and that's always a sign of, you know, when we gave you the teams that we didn't like in the past from the Patriots, 09, you know, was a big one. In 09, I think they lost four games on the road.
2-6.
2-6? What am I saying? 2-6 on the road.
2-6. They went 8-0 at home that year, 2-6 on the road.
Bunch of front-running frauds, that team.
So, I just need to see that. And I think that you're going to get some, you know, you're going to get at Pittsburgh. You're going to have Miami coming up. I told you, 4 out of the next 5 are on the road. I could see them losing 2 of these games, including the home game, 2 of the next 5.
Maddie in the car. Go ahead, Maddie. I'm Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon's a beast, Maz. Felger, you guys got to give this guy a chance. The kid's got talent. He snatches the ball. He reaches out. He goes after it. Nothing that Cooks couldn't do back in the day. The kid was garbage. Gordon's the fucking answer. Let's go.
Okay, baby. You can't say that word. Well, he's getting a chance. I mean, that's clear. They're bending over backwards for the kid. They're giving him a handler or a coach or something to get him to where he's got to get to on time because the guy can't show up on time, which, again, just blows me away. That's what we're about now down there in New England. It's not that you all have to be there on time and be disciplined and dialed in and structured. No, no, no. If you can't, we'll have someone come get you. Because why? Because you can go snatch the ball? Like, that's what the Patriots have done all these years?
Well, it's the new atmosphere under Chill Belichick. God. Remember, the new motto for the year was, no, comma, days off.
Give me a break. All that stuff catches up. It did in 09. It did with Randy Moss. It absolutely caught up with Randy Moss. And you don't want to believe it, but it did. By the time you got to 08, 09, 10, you had lost your soul as a team. And that 09 team was no fluke, that there was a bunch of jackasses in there. It started with Moss, and you just let it all slip until it devolved to that point. So it does catch up eventually. That's why I don't have any use for Josh Gordon still to this day. Okay, we've got the Celtics last night. The Celtics last night losing again in Denver. Issues mounting for the Celtics. We'll get to that. We have a Bruins minute coming up and some Red Sox thoughts as well, so don't go anywhere.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end, now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good. And that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back. And now we got some issues here after the game.
Oh, Kyrie is saying right now. What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act, and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
Sean Grandy here on the Celtics Radio Network, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Boy, was he right on all counts. Murray launched that last three when Max is like, no, he ain't going to do it. They're playing defense. No, the kid did it. And Kyrie then tossing the ball into the stands has cost him money. $25K.
That's steep. It is steep.
It's like half most people's salary for the year for tossing a basketball into the freaking stands.
I'll tell you, look, I think it's excessive too, but you understand it from the league standpoint, right? They don't want you chucking anything into the crowd.
Well, so someone could get injured.
Well, but even so,
it's a
like
basketball, it's you not know, a brick.
Now, like, I mean, maybe I'm overthinking this, but the guy gets career high 48. Maybe he wants the ball as a souvenir.
Oh no, that's clearly why he did it.
Okay, all right.
Mind that, you're not getting this one, pal.
So I kind of like that part of it. Like, screw you, I'm chucking it into the crowd.
No, I definitely think that's what that was.
Oh, it's awesome. Like that part of it, I liked. And so, look, I thought it was kind of a dink move. It was, but I have mixed feelings.
By Murray or by?
Yeah, by Murray.
Totally is.
So, but I have mixed feelings about it. Because on the other hand, I look at the Celtics and say, if you don't want him to shoot for the 50, don't let him get 48.
Don't we say about the Patriots all the time when they run up the score?
Holy crap.
It's your job to stop them.
I mean, what are we doing here? And again, if you watch it in the fourth quarter, the only time it felt to me like the Celtics really started to dig in and play D is when he got to 48. And all of a sudden now 50 was in play. Then Marcus Smart was picking him up at midcourt and he was in his shorts the whole time. Otherwise, they didn't play defense like that in the fourth quarter. There were a couple threes in particular that stuck out to me. Jamal Murray's on the left elbow three out by the arc there on the left side. And Smart's like 5 feet away from him, 6 feet, just totally let him shoot. Smart was more concerned with the guy setting the pick than he was actually playing defense. And there was no pick.
Your thoughts on the 6-4 Boston Celtics?
So look, to me, there is a problem there on the offensive end. And I look at the guys on the floor and I say, they're just not playing team basketball on the offensive end of the floor. And you go right through the roster. How many guys on that team would you say make other guys on the team better?
Well, answer me this.
Okay.
Horford
say,
for one.
Absolutely Horford. Number one on the list. And I would say Kyrie gets a half. Because Kyrie's not a great distributor, but he's better than I thought he was in Cleveland. Like, I watch him and I say, Kyrie will at times try to get people involved.
Yeah, I mean, even last night, too, it was one quick thing. I just thought it was somewhat unselfish that I think it was on a steal and he had Tatum trailing. And, you know, Kyrie easily could have dunked it or put it in himself, and he had Tatum get the dunk. So I was like, okay, I like seeing that kind of stuff. But Al Horford is the facilitator of the team, no question.
I'll even give you Marcus Smart as a half.
Sure.
Like, I think Smart in the half court will try to make other guys better by running an offense and making good passes and all of that. Other than that, Jason Tatum doesn't do it enough. Jaylen Brown never does it. Hayward, I don't know enough about yet because I haven't watched him play, so we'll see.
Marcus Morris is
the human vacuum, right? Anything that he's like, it's like Velcro. The ball gets to him and it sticks. That's it. It's not moving to anyone else. I mean, Baines is what he is. So really, look at them. Rozier? Does Rozier make other guys better? Looks to me like all Rozier wants to do now is put his shot up. He wants to score. I would say this. It feels like every guy on the team now is interested in scoring. Tatum's one-on-one. Last night, there was one little sequence where he had the ball pretty close to the paint. And Hayward was wide open. And he looked at him and stopped himself from passing the ball. And I thought, why wouldn't you make that pass? Instinctively, you should make that pass. And Tatum's turned into a little bit of a ball hog himself at the moment. They're playing selfish offense.
Yeah, so this is what particularly pissed me off about this game last night, because for the first 10 to 12 minutes of the game, the offense was awesome. I thought it was the best that they've looked all year, and it had me thinking, like, look at this team. Like, they can hang with this Nuggets team. It's 9-1. Bring on the Warriors. This is what I've been waiting to see. And then they lost focus. They got sloppy. They were terrible on rebounds on both ends. And they lost to a better team last night. They just it's unfocused. Brown has to go to the second unit. I would like it to be Hayward, but that's not going to happen because of ego, big free agency, and all that kind of stuff. But one of those guys has to go to the bench.
I mean, I thought the fourth quarter last night was embarrassing. I thought it was, again. The way, you know, for a team that prides itself on playing hard, or has prided itself on playing hard, I thought defensively they didn't dig in on Murray at all. And, you know, when I really weigh it all out, they can't, they're not as good as they think they are. They're not. And so they think they're just going to waltz into Denver and play half-ass and win a game now. I you know, look, to me, they're getting what they deserve here on this trip. They lost in Indiana. Now they lost this one. If they don't play hard, they're going to lose more games than they want to.
And again, just real quick, how many open looks do they miss? And look, that'll come, but that's one of the things that's been killing me here in the first few weeks of this season. Like, so many open shots that they miss. And so this speaks to what I said last Friday with them taking too many threes, the 55 that they took against Milwaukee last Thursday, and how I think it's unsustainable. So Kyrie says after the game, the quote was, this team needs to learn to execute and use better shot selection down the stretch of tight games. Too many threes were forced tonight. Too many threes were forced. Okay, so forced, whatever. So which is it? I thought after the 55 attempts you took Thursday against Milwaukee, he was like, no, keep chucking. We'll take 80. We'll take 80. So is it too many threes, or do you want to shoot 80? You can't have it both ways. Get in the paint. You have some of the talent to do that, especially with a guy like Tatum. Stop chucking so many stupid threes.
I mean, at one point last night, Kyrie made a tough three from the corner. It was 91-90.
Yeah, I saw that shot. It was a great shot.
Great shot. Great shot. But, you know, the Celtics overall in the quarter, 2 of 11 from three-point distance. They took 21 shots. I mean, more than half the shots were from three. So they get three happy. They do. Murray's right about that.
That's what the metrics tell you to do. You understand that, people. You know that. We've been over this. That's max optimization. That's the nerds taking over. They want those attempts. That's what they want. That's the game plan. That's how they're built. So you saying they need to play another way?
I know it ain't going to happen.
Who are they going to pound it inside to other than Horford? Who?
Tatum's got the size to do it. Brown can do it.
Horford is a better three-point shot now than he does a post move anyway. I'd rather have Horford shoot from the top of the key than in the paint. But it's how they're built. You get used to it, Murray.
But they got a couple of guys that can get to the basket, too, though.
Okay,
Mike.
Who can drive, sure. Yes.
Right? That can put the ball on the floor like Jaylen Brown did in the fourth quarter at one point last night. He made a nice drive and got to the hoop. Kyrie can get to the hoop. Tatum can get to the hoop. Hayward can get to the hoop. Like, you know, and if they move the ball, they will create lanes to get there. And you can also cut and get easy twos.
Fine. That's different than posting it. But either way, Gary Washburn writes in the Boston Globe, headline, "The Celtics have a fundamental problem, and it was on full display last night." He says Murray's 48-point game, including 16 points in the final 7 minutes, overshadowed what is the fundamental issue with the 6-4 Celtics. Murray's performance Monday was not Jim Murray, but Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's performance Monday was the primary source of frustration after the loss, but players in the Boston locker room know their dilemmas are far more than allowing a good score to be great for one night. Although everyone talked prior to the regular season about keeping egos in check, adjusting to new and sometimes reduced roles, and allowing others to flourish, there is a sense of confusion and bewilderment because some players are not following the script. After the Celtics scored 34 first quarter points on nearly 63% shooting, they scored 73 in the final three quarters on 46% shooting, Maz. Players were trying to make home run shots, and the bench just got flat embarrassed. The reserves, he writes, came in with their own agenda. And it's apparent that not everybody is comfortable with the healthy returns of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
Yeesh.
How about that one? The reserves came in with their own agenda, and it's apparent that not everybody is comfortable with the healthy returns of Irving and Gordon Hayward. He singles some out. He says Terry Rozier has been erratic at best. He is 8 for his past 34 from the field and is struggling on defense. He tried to get into a one-on-one duel with Denver's backup point guard, Monte Morris, and got crushed. He says, and perhaps it was not such a positive, this is Washburn writing, that Jason Tatum got off to such a fast start. After appearing as if he was capable of carrying the load offensively, he has skidded in the last seven games, shooting just 36%. His one-on-one game is masterful, but it means little when the shot is not going down. Tatum has been playing more isolation ball without the desired result. That has hurt the offensive flow.
That part I agree with completely.
He is. He's all one-on-one. I mean, he is. He's all one-on-one. And there were a couple of snapshots last night where it was a little bit better. You know, but again, that one, the one with Hayward, to me, stuck out. Hayward is wide open. He looked at him and didn't give him the ball.
Washburn said the players are not bickering and they aren't calling each other out, but everyone wants to capitalize on their playing time, hit the big shot while the crowd prove their value. There is no discord in the locker room, only frustration. There isn't reason for concern yet. These yips were expected. But the Celtics can't continue to be so arrogant in thinking they can be successful playing the right way only some of the time. It's that first piece that, again, I think was apparent from the first second you watched this team. A lot of mouths to feed. It's one thing to say we can all subjugate our ego and do what's best for the team, and then it's to go and do it for guys who have tens of millions of dollars on the table. A guy like Terry Rozier, a guy like Tatum and Brown. Those guys are working towards their next contract. You don't get paid scoring 9 points a game. You don't get paid if that's the case. And so when Terry Rozier gets in there, it's a chuckathon because he ain't going to get paid averaging 6 points and three assists on 12 minutes a night. So he's got, and so like that's all something they've got to figure out somehow. And
well, it's no, go back to Thursday's game. It's no coincidence that I think, you know, offensively, it's maybe their best game of the year. Who was missing? Jaylen Brown, because he had the foot injury. He comes back. It's a bit of a log jam. They have the ugly loss in Indianapolis, and no one gets a hand in the face of Oladipo at the end of that game on Saturday. And this last night, especially after how they looked in the first quarter, was pathetic.
So remember that whole theory that Brown and Tatum, the silver lining was that they would get all those minutes last year?
Yeah, when absolutely.
Okay, so this is the payback for that.
Exactly.
Now. Because now Tatum thinks he's a star. Jason Tatum, and I like Tatum. I think we all do. But Tatum thinks he's like a 7-year veteran who should get the ball every trip down the floor. It's still your second year in the league. Shut up. Play when you're supposed to play. Take the open shot and find the open man. It's not about you. Like, and this is what the issue is on the offensive end with them right now. Like, again, I know it's one possession. I can't say enough about that sequence, though. Hayward was wide. Oh, he looked at him and wouldn't give him the ball. Like, I look at that and go, holy crap.
Washburn writes, it's apparent that not everybody is comfortable with the healthy returns of Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So, there you go. There it is in a nutshell with the Celtics. We'll continue and mix those thoughts into our Patriots thoughts. Bruins Minute coming up a little bit. Right here on Felger and Mazz after Murray's update.
Felger and Mazz. The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones as promised. Luke in Vermont. Green Mountain Luke on the Celtics. Yes, Luke.
Please let me address one thing with each of you. I'll be very quick. First off, Hayward is a great distributor. Eventually, when he gets healthy, they will run the offense through him. He is the reason they lost last night because he's not up to speed yet. But eventually, he will be good. They'll run it through him, and you'll see that that's how they want to run their offense. Felger. Rozier will get paid by having one great game in the finals. There's a lot of people in the NBA who put up numbers who don't get paid. See Isaiah Thomas. Brad Stevens has to get them to see that the greater good is best for all of them, and he will do that too. Lastly, Murray, the starting five is not going to change. I don't know why you guys are fixated on this. It drives me nuts. Those are the best five players. Once they get it to click, that is what is best for the team, is to have those five start and finish.
Okay, Luke, all good points. If you're saying Rozier doesn't need a good season, he only needs a good game in the playoffs, then tell him. Tell him that. Because he's playing like he needs a good season. So you may be right, but the player doesn't get it.
I mean, I think that they, you know, again, I don't know any other way to say it other than to say they're playing selfish offensive basketball. These guys are more interested in putting up their own numbers than winning, and they think they're so good that it doesn't matter, and it does matter.
We continue with your calls, Patriots thoughts as well. Mike in the truck for Mazz. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Mazz, yesterday you said that Patterson isn't the guy to be their running back. or the answer at running back.
He said it.
But you guys, Mike, you guys say all the time that they can take anyone off the street and plug him in. So if he's better than a guy off the street, then why can't he be their running back right now?
Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Just put anyone back there. It doesn't matter. He's just anybody. He's nothing special.
Yeah, I mean, my only point is that I don't think there's anything unique there. That was my point. Like, you know, you stick him back there and you tell him run straight ahead. So, you know, Greg Bedard, who's covered the league for 20 years, just said the same thing when he was here earlier. So maybe he's an ass hat, too.
He said the same thing about Patterson and Michelle. He said Cordell Patterson at running back is just like Sony Michelle. They follow the fullback. They take what's there, but nothing special. They're not creating for you anything there that's not there already carved out by the line or the scheme or the offense.
See, even I wouldn't say that about Michelle.
So, but good.
Michelle's better than Patterson.
Of course he is. He still ain't anything special. It's still anything different between that and just, you know, your Joe average running back. Not much different. He could be in time, I suppose. But, so, I mean, I agree with Greg on that. Stick anyone back there. Junior in Providence on Kyrie Irving. Yes, Junior.
Hey, boys, just want to say that there's too many smart players on this team for them not to figure out their woes. And I think good times are ahead. If you remember, last time Kyrie got fined, he said, suck my you-know-what.
Ha!
And they won 15 straight, so I'm not worried, boys. All right, have a good one.
Okay. It's green teamers. It's hard to knock green teamers off their perch of optimism, Murray. Hard to get them off there.
That is factually correct, though. The S-my whole thing.
Yes.
They went on that big win streak.
I think there's a chance he's right.
Yeah, no, it's that's been all over social media today. That's right.
Meaning what?
No. I mean, I think there's a chance the caller's right that this will wake them up. Because Kyrie was pissed. He was pissed. You know, and again, they can blame Jamal Murray if they want. The reality is that they didn't play D on him until the very end of the game.
Yeah,
at least in the fourth quarter, I should say.
I thought that was funny. Part of me thought that was funny, but I want to be consistent here because I got all over Jay Crowder a couple of years ago when he was whining on Instagram when Devin Booker got 70 points here. And so if you don't like it, stop him. Same thing to Kyrie. If you want to be mad about it, well, play some defense. Stop the guy.
Kyrie said, what kind of competitor wouldn't it bother? Meaning he was asked, were you bothered by that last second shot? He says, what kind of competitor wouldn't it bother? I understand if we fouled him going to the free throw line. I don't want to make too big a deal of it. Obviously, I was pissed at the game. But it's time to decompress and move on. Congratulations to him having 48 points. He did it in a great fashion against us. He was a primary concern tonight, and he made us pay in certain instances of making some tough shots and tough layups. But the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a BS move like that. So I threw it in the crowd.
Yeah, again, I love the fact that he chucked it in the crowd. I mean, you know, the fine notwithstanding. But I thought the only time anyone really got in that guy's shorts, in Murray's shorts, was when he had 48 and they didn't want him to get 50. And I blame Stevens for part of this too, by the way, because there were a couple of possessions here in the fourth quarter where Kyrie was guarding him. Who do you think they're going to go at? Once they get that matchup, they're going to go at Kyrie every time. Marcus Smart should have been on him the whole quarter and in his shorts.
And then the times that he did have, and the times you mentioned, I remember the three-pointer from the, you know, elbow, from the three-point elbow. I think Scal got on him, too. Scal got on Mark and said, he said something like, that can't happen, or that's embarrassing, or something like that.
So I think that was the second one where Marcus Morris switched and then didn't step out to cover the three.
So that was the Morris one?
Yeah. So one of them was, where, again, Smart was sort of hanging close to the guy who, I don't remember who it was, whether it was Nokic or...
Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, whichever one. But Smart, to me, looked like he just gave Murray too much room. He played off him and gave him too much room. And he dropped the three right in his kisser. And then the next time they switched, and Morris was 6 feet off him. What are you doing? Getting the guy shorts.
Steven Maynard. Hi, Steve, on the Patriots.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. Any word through the Bedard grapevine regarding Malcolm Mitchell? He seemed to really get it when he was on the field here, and Brady appeared to trust him. That's it.
Yeah, he's suing the team. He's done.
He's one of like three players who are suing the team right now.
He was cut with an injury designation, and I don't care what the details are. He's suing the team. So he's not, generally they don't like to play players who are suing them. That's sort of a thing that they have. So Malcolm Mitchell, no, that's over. Nice draft pick, but you drafted a guy with an injury history and he didn't make it health-wise. So hard to say it was unlucky. Sort of get what you pay for on that one. You draft a guy who always gets hurt, and he gets hurt as a pro. That's no one to blame but yourself. Long commercial-free segment is next. Couple of the things we'll get to. We'll mix them in. One is, guess who gave up another hellacious soft goal last night? Guess. I'll give you one guess. Okay, we'll get to that. And some Red Sox issues. Hot stove has begun. GM meetings out there. MVP ballots are in. We'll get to that those items as well in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And skating it up the left side, here's Foxo over the line left side. To the near circle. Shoots, he scores! Radek Foxa floated one underneath Rastlov. Shorthanded. The Stars with a 1-0 lead over the Bruins.
I mean, nothing else you could say about it. It's a bad goal, right? Udoba makes two great saves at the other end. First on a shot by Krug, and then the rebound chance by Patrice Bergeron. It's one against, what, three or four? And Jordan Krug takes Foxa wide. It's a shot from outside the dot, and it just, Rask misses it.
No, it was a soft goal. Tuukka's still at it. Tuukka Rask still at it. Torrey Krug took the blame for this after the game, said it deflected off his stick. I don't care if it deflected off his stick. That was a balloon. That was a little floated balloon from 40 feet.
And it wasn't even a great angle.
What are you doing? I don't care if it did. So it nicked his stick. More than enough time to adjust.
He should have been able to stop that.
So Cassidy, I don't know. I don't know if Cassidy was asked about it last night. I didn't read any quotes about it last night. So, I mean, I can just always, I always have this. Bruce, how'd you feel about that first goal last night?
You know, it was a soft goal.
Thank you. Okay. That's fine. That's whether you said it last night or not, it applies. That first goal, no debate. What was it?
You know, it was a soft goal.
Thank you. And in terms of your goaltender situation, Bruce?
I think Halak has been better than Tuukka.
Okay, so there you go. That hasn't changed. It was great last night. It was a 1-1 game forever. It was a 1-1 game the whole night. They would throw up these scoring chances stats, which aren't shots, right? They're scoring chances. It was tied 1-1 in the second period, and the Bruins had a 9-0 scoring advantage lead. 9-0. The Stars had tied the game with zero scoring chances. That's how soft that goal was.
Oh, God, that's as bad a goal as I've seen.
Not even Nesson. The state-run Pravda. The team employees, Jack and Brick, were like, even Jack and Brick are this game like saying, if I'm Dallas, I'm throwing anything at the net right now. I'm throwing whatever at the net. Given the state of what's going, you know, even Jack can't talk around this one. How bad Rask is playing. They had a goal on no scoring chances. Bruins had 9-0 scoring chances, a 1-1 game. Like, how does this happen?
It's a mathematical impossibility.
Well, let me tell you how it happens.
It's a paradox.
You don't have anyone who can play other than three guys, and your goaltender sucks. That's how that happens.
Seriously, that's as bad a goal as I've seen.
God.
That was horrendous. Absolutely, positively horrendous.
Coming
to give
off
up that
being
goal.
Benched for three games and the hellacious game he had against Montreal his last time out and all this Halak momentum, and he comes out and he does that in the first period. You got to be kidding me, dude.
I know. It really, I remember thinking, because I heard that one in the car and I heard beers, and I remember thinking to myself, and then I went home and watched the replay of it, and I thought, there's something wrong with this guy. Like, seriously, I started, like, he's a mess. Mentally, he's a mess. Like, to allow that goal. Now, look, they didn't score again the rest of the game, but at that moment, I was thinking to myself, he's a puddle. Like, they got to do something about this.
Bruins should have won that game 5-0. Boy, did Dallas not show up. I don't know. Did Sagan show him around last night or something? Like, what was wrong with that Dallas team?
Good question.
Holy crap, did they not show? Well, what's up with you? They're off to a good start. They're a good team this year. Seriously. Did Sagan take you out? Show you all the old spots? They shut down Daisy. Like, what? I couldn't believe how lame they were last night. You should have won that game 5-0 going away. That goal never should have gone in. Rask was hardly challenged. He challenged himself in the third period. You see him try and clear the puck, and he put it right on the guy's stick.
Yes.
In the crease, in the slot. And then he made the save. But of this guy. So he still ain't right. And they're still the same team. They scored two goals. Let me tell you if this sounds familiar. First one was Pasternak from Bergeron. Second one was Marchand.
Both on the power play.
It's the same thing every night. It's the same thing every night. Nothing else on that team stands out. Nothing.
So I'm starting to worry about this. I mean, like, to me, this is a, you know, they've invested so much in all these young guys that you look at it and say, if they don't produce, now what? Like, where do you go from here? So I was looking up some of the numbers, okay? Bjork, 12 games, 2 points. Heinen, 12 games, 0 goals, 3 points. DeBrusk, whom I like, 14 games, 4 points. And Donato, who's been shipped out, 11 games, 1 point. You add it all up, 49 games, 10 points. 10 from the young future of the Bruins. Like, tell me that doesn't scare the crap out of you.
Should. It should. No one else has showed. No one else.
I mean, so like, okay, on Bjork, you say, well, fine, you know, his last year was kind of a lost year. He's starting all over again. Donato came up late, but he was useless early in the year. Heinen's going backwards. And DeBrus, to me, I like DeBrus still, but, that line hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. I don't know if they have to move Pasternak there or what. So, but I'm okay with DeBrus being there, but when you add it all up, what if these guys can't play, Mike?
Oh, huge issue. You want to mention a ranking stat that you
so again, The Athletic did this thing during the offseason where they ranked the farm systems of all 31 NHL teams. Where do you think the Bruins rank? Because we heap praise upon praise for their farm system.
Tell the people, where do they rank?
27th. 27th. And again, now I'm not telling you that the guy who did it for The Athletic is, you know, the know-all and end-all. And his name's Corey Pronman. Okay? But 27th? For a team that we sit here and hype the crap out of in terms of all these young guys they have coming, what if they can't play?
Huge issue. No question about it. No one showed. No one's leaked a drop this year. No one other than that line. No one. You watch the games, and it's those three out there, and then everyone else plays, and you're like, you can't tell anyone apart. No one shows. No one shows anything.
I mean, and it's really about the forwards, right? McAvoy's been out, obviously. It feels like Carlo's playing better.
Well, just a hidden story, positive side, is that they're keeping the puck out of the net somehow without McAvoy out there and Chara another year older. They're third in the league in goals against.
Right.
I mean, so somehow with their starting goaltender absolutely having a meltdown and their best or second best defenseman being out for now for over half the year and a bunch of, you know, Steve Kampfer. And, you know, this group, they're the third best team in terms of goals against in the league. So they're doing something there defensively. But no, it's that forward group. Not one of those young guys has emerged or had anything resembling any sort of impact at all this year.
I mean, that is scary. Again, Bjork, Heinen, DeBruskin, Donato, 49 games played combined, 10 points. 10.
Okay, so there's your Bruins minute. Now we got to get to the Red Sox, and then we've covered it all. And we'll get back to your phones. What Red Sox item do we want to start with? J.D. Martinez, shut out of the MVP voting. He's not a finalist. Your thoughts on that?
So I want to start there because I think people are missing the story on this. And I've heard a lot of people sort of assess this and talk about it. Like, how does Jose Ramirez of the Indians end up in the top three and J.D. Martinez doesn't? You're missing the point. He should be on there instead of Mookie Betts, for crying out loud. If you ask me, if there should be one Red Sox player, and I'm not telling you Mookie Betts doesn't deserve it. That's not what I mean. But after having watched the playoffs and now looked at them last year versus this year, do we need anyone to explain why J.D. Martinez is really the most valuable guy in that team? The whole thing changed when you added him to the lineup completely. So the fact that he got shut out, you were only going to get one Red Sox player in the top three. That's just the way the voters do it. Okay, they're going to vote for guys from different teams. You can't have two guys on one team who are most valuable. You can't do it. It just doesn't work. So at best, J.D. Martinez is going to end up being fourth on a lot of people's ballots. But to me, he should have been on there over Betts. That's the part that, and again, I get it with Mookie. I get it. The all-around game, Mookie's the best player in the league this year. But if we're talking about value, impact, to me, there's no question it's J.D. Martinez. I have felt that way all year long.
But you know why he's not on there.
Sure, war.
War.
He doesn't play in the field enough.
Correct.
It's war.
I didn't think I could hate the baseball nerds more than I could until today when I saw this, or last night when this popped. This is embarrassing. You can't defend this. The guy is a legitimate MVP candidate. He should be in the top five. I think it should be Betts, but I can completely understand why you would vote for J.D. Martinez, that he's not a finalist. There's really only one solution here, people, and that's to jail the nerds. They need to be stopped. This is pathetic. It's pathetic.
Because J.D. Martinez is not playing the field. That left him with a warm reading from Pete Abraham. That left Martinez with a 6.4 war.
Oh.
As calculated by baseballreference.com, well below the war of Mookie Betts, 10.9, Mike Trout, 10.2, and Jose Ramirez at 7.9. Thus, you're not in the top three in war. You're not in the top three in our ballot.
So why do I need voters?
Why do we even bother with humans voting?
I agree.
Plug it into the computer and give me the war stat.
Right. What do I need people to vote for? Use your eyes. Again, what better before and after picture do we need than look at the Red Sox offense in 2017 and 2018? Tell me, what was the difference?
J.D. Martinez.
Totally.
Well, launch angle, new approach from Alex Cora, the hitting coach. You don't buy any of that?
No. I mean, I do a little bit. I do a little bit. Some of those guys would have had better years. Sure. Yes. Are the Red Sox who they are without J.D. Martinez?
Probably not.
No chance. No chance. It affects the way the whole lineup is pitched to all of it. It all changes if J.D. Martinez is not in that lineup. It is 100% different, and they probably win the division still, or maybe not, because, again, the Yankees won 100, right? So they still win in the 90s, but do they win the World Series? To me, no, they don't.
Okay, there's a Red Sox take for you. We can also hit on the other Red Sox items just on my list are this report that came out yesterday that the New York Yankees are cooling on Bryce Harper but are in on Manny Machado. Manny Machado to the Yankees.
Pretty good.
Yum.
I'll tell you what, I'll take either one. That's Harper or Machado.
Great villain item.
Yeah, put either one there. Oh, but Machado, you get the history with.
Great guys to hate. You put Machado behind Stanton and Judge and, I mean, another all-or-nothing stupid hitter who's incredibly talented. Like, I don't know. But great fodder for us. Machado to the Yankees. And then the agent for Craig Kimbrel is already at the GM meetings out there in California. This is a tweet from John Heyman. Says, agent Dave Meter has a fairly straightforward pitch on client Craig Kimbrel. Points out Meter. He's the best all time. Not just recently, but all time. Lowest ERA, lowest batting average against, lowest OPS against. Also points out he saved all his chances, even this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So the agent for Craig Kimbrel is telling you he's not just the greatest in the league, he's the greatest ever in the league. Something tells me you're not going to be paying this guy to come back. So there's that. All that on the table with all of our Patriots stuff, the Kyrie stuff at the Celtics last night, that Bruins minute, that Red Sox minute. We'll mix it all up and go right to your phones after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.